कृष्णेति यस्य गिरितं मनसा ध्रियेता दीक्षस्ति चित्प्रदतिभिश्च भजन्तमीशम् शुश्रूषया भजन विज्ञमनन्यमन्या निन्दादि शून्य हृदमीप्सित सङ्गलाभ्या. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So these are the main activities, the main tasks and challenges of an advancing devotee, to learn to have proper relationships. Relationships is where our ego is involved the most. And this is the best field for work, because we are always interacting with somebody and we can always either give up some false ego or grow in our false ego or transform our false ego or surrender more. So relationships are very important. Relationships are very important. And also, of course, for devotional service, one advances by relationships. That's how one advances. Sadhu Sangha, association with devotees, is the source of advancement, and it's the source of all the blessings. Practically all the other forms of service are dependent on devotee relationships. And so Prabhupada begins his purport by saying, in order to intelligently apply the sixfold loving reciprocations mentioned in the previous verse, one must select proper persons with careful discrimination. And again, I would like to emphasize that there is no category of devotees which we can disrespect. Yeah, so we respect all categories of devotees. And we have read even the notorious Prakrita Sahajiyas who are always condemned. We respect them for chanting Hare Krishna. They chant Hare Krishna and therefore they are to be respected for that. Even though maybe we do not closely associate with them. And then understanding these verses, applying these verses is what changes us from Kanishta Adhikari into a Madhyama Adhikari. This is the moving force of change. And Prabhupada is saying one should not remain a Kanishta Adhikari. And in your books that you, I think you have this printed out in these small course books, Prabhupada gives an interesting translation to. Yes, this is on the fourth page, or on the third page, how you count, in Prabhupada's translation of Kanishta Adhikari. So this is the same verse that you have here in the purport, definition of Kanishta Adhikari. Archayame vaharaye pujamya shradaye hate natat bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smritaha. So this is here in the book. And here is a translation of that same verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. You have it in your handbooks. A Prakrita Bhakta, or materialistic devotee, does not purposefully study the Shastra. This is the last one, yeah. You found this. Does not purposefully study the Shastra and try to understand the actual standard of pure devotional service. Consequently, he does not show proper respect to advanced devotees. He may, however, follow the regulative principles learned from his spiritual master or from his family who worships the deity. He is to be considered on the material platform, although he is trying to advance in devotional service. Such a person is a Bhakta Praya, neophyte devotee, or Bhakta Abhas, for he is a little enlightened by Vaishnava philosophy. This is a very interesting translation. Prabhupada mentions study of Shastra as that which distinguishes Kanishta Adhikari from Madhyama Adhikari. And he doesn't study Shastra purposefully. Purposefully meaning having some purpose not as a formality, but actually trying to get something of it, and also translating it into behavior in life, our behavior in life. In Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami is comparing two kinds of faith. One faith he is calling balotpadita, or forced faith. So when some of our Prabhupada is saying, like a family, sometimes our family may be Vaishnavas, and they, of course, for us it's rare, but they kind of force us or induce us to worship, or maybe we have friends who inspire us to become a devotee. So this is called balotpadita, or induced faith. And then the other type of faith that he speaks about is swabhaviki, or natural faith, and this is a Shastriya Shraddha. Shraddha that's based on the Shastra. In other words, we study the Shastra, we study the truth, we get the information, and then we make our own decision. Then our faith is naturally flowing from our informed decision and understanding. So we want to have a natural faith, a real faith, based on informed decision, and that's coming by Shastra. We will discuss a little bit more about study of the Shastra and faith in the purport, because it's coming in the purport. But this is just one little point about Kanishtha Adhikari and how to stop being a Kanishtha Adhikari and advance. So these three middle verses are the transformative verses to lift us from Kanishtha platform to the Madhyama platform. So Kanishtha may be worshipping Kanishtha Bhagavata. Archayameva haraye pujam yashadayehate. He does puja to archaya, to the deity, to a form of the Lord. Natad bhakteshu chanyeshu. But he doesn't do puja, or he doesn't give respect, if we translate literally. He doesn't give puja to bhakteshu, to devotees, chanyeshu, and others, non-devotees. So that's what distinguishes a Kanishtha Bhagavata from Madhyama Bhagavata, that he does puja to the Lord, but he doesn't do puja, he doesn't give respect to devotees, proper respect to devotees, and to non-devotees. So even non-devotees, sometimes we think, oh, these karmis, you know, these demons and everything. But in fact, this is... there is a danger that this could be a sign of a Kanishtha Adhikari who just disrespects everybody, tries to disrespect everybody. So as we advance, we learn to respect more and more. So if you want one word which will move you forward, this one word which is the essence of our culture, what this one word would be?
Respect.
Respect. Yes, thank you. It's respect. So respect. And this is the culture of respect. We respect everybody. We respect just everybody who is a human. As soon as someone is a human, it's already a basis for respect. He has a capacity to understand God. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but he has the necessary apparatus, he has the necessary instruments to understand God. There is at least a little sattva in every human being. So maybe later, but they can understand God. And we can give all of them something. We can give them the Harinam. So next Saturday we have Harinam, yes? And whoever hears, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this castanian, this chestnut is benefiting. He's standing right next to the temple. He's hearing Hare Krishna. The ants that are crawling, I saw some ants some time ago. So he's also getting a benefit. And of course a human being. Because then a human being can see a book or get a book and certainly can get a benefit. So in this purport, we have several lines of different levels. Several criteria, several dimensions. According to which we speak about these three levels. And they are not all equal. But you had some question?
Yeah, just we are respecting everything what is human.
Mm.
And we are not respecting everything what has a soul.
Yeah, I'm saying also even ants, even trees, so even to them, yes, even to them we are, of course, we have to respect everybody. And even ourselves. Sometimes we may be disrespectful to ourselves or disrespectful to our bodies or whatever, you know. So, it's all Krishna's. It's all Krishna's energy, so we respect it. If we understand Krishna, if you really understand Krishna, then there's no, we don't even have to get this instruction, because we know that Krishna is in everybody's heart. So, but if we really know Krishna, then Krishna is the absolute truth. Krishna is not an Indian god. Krishna is not a deity from an Indian village. Krishna is not a cute boy that lived 5,000 years ago. Krishna is the absolute truth. Who has all of the amazing characteristics, but he's the absolute truth. And he's in everybody's heart. So if I actually understand Krishna, I will respect him. I will see him in the hearts and everything in him. And that's the vision that we are striving for. That's what we are working on, to develop such a vision. And we start sometimes from work. Sometimes it will need some conscious practice that we will train ourselves to respect those who serve Krishna and respect humans and so forth. When we are in love with Krishna, then it will be spontaneously flowing. Then it will be very natural and happy. But even when practiced, even when done by as a sadhana, as a practice, even then it gives a very deep satisfaction. That's the beauty of bhakti, that even at the platform of sadhana, it is ecstatic. It gives pleasure even on the platform of practice. Isn't it? Yes. All right. So, who has read the purport? Recently. Yeah. Please read before the class. You see, we have three more classes. Tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday. As far as I understand. Krishna willing. So please read. These are small purports. This is a small book. You can read the whole book every day, basically. At least, you know, go through it. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada describes these three categories, three levels of the Vaishnavas, according to different measurement approaches, different measurement techniques. So the first one is the one given by Rupa Goswami. And, one is that he mentioning is Diksha, initiation. So we can write. These are things by which one can judge advancement, or by which one can also attain advancement. So Diksha. Right? So, Diksha means initiation. Yeah? Diksha means initiation. And Srila Prabhupada explains what is Diksha. And he says that the process by which a devotee becomes attached to Krishna is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Diksha kale bhakta kore atma samarpan se kale Krishna tare kore atma sam. At the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders to the service of the Lord, Krishna accepts him to be as good as he himself. So, when one is initiated, Krishna accepts this person as good as he himself. It's quite special. But what's very interesting is that Prabhupada is calling this act a process. He doesn't say this is a ceremony or a ritual or sacrifice or a moment or an act. He says it's a process. So that means it doesn't end. And Prabhupada has selected a very good word for this, initiation. So initiation, what does it mean to initiate? It's to bring the person in, to bring the person into the secret, so to say, or into the process. So to begin, it's a beginning. It's not the end. Sometimes we think that initiation is the end. Yes, to get initiation, that's it. Perfection achieved. But it's just the beginning. It's actually supposed to be the beginning. And Prabhupada gives a beautiful definition from Bhakti Sandarbha. Divyam jnanam yato dadyat kuryat papasya sankshayam tasma dikshayati saprokta desikai statva kovidai. So diksha is di divya jnanam and papasya sanksha. So diksha, divya jnana, and papa sankshaya. Divine knowledge, it gives divine knowledge, and papa sankshaya, removal of the sin. So when we take initiation, the removal of the sin, we take a vow. No meat, fish or eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, illicit sex. So these are the four things which help us to remove the sin. And divine knowledge is that we are Krishna's servant. And then we get the mantra which leads us in this Krishna service. So, diksha. Some acharyas give the explanation that, again, we can have three levels. So, this is a process. So, here one just chants once. So, here one chants. Or some say that this can also, Prabhupada has some mention here in the purport, that it can refer to Harinam Diksha, the first initiation. But the main point is that it's like the middle point. When we take the vows and we get all the mantras, so we take the vows, that means we are committed, we are serious. And we receive all the mantras for worshipping the deity. Yes, we get the mantra for worshipping Gauranga, Krishna. So, mantras for worship. And we understand what we are doing. And we worship, we engage in this worship. So this is one thing. And the perfection of this will be when this divya jnanam is attained. So, full divine knowledge. Process complete. This process of initiation is complete. So this is a road. This is that's the path. You can see that is the path. So it is complete. In fact, we can say that already somewhere here, where it turns somewhere here. Actually, even after here, it's a very high level. After we learn to respect all the devotees, but from here, it's a very high level. So there are several definitions of an Uttama Adhikari. One is he has Ruchi, one is he has Bhava, it depends on what we speak about. So this is a perfection of this path, the perfection of initiation. So this is one criterion. Yes? Again, there are different uses of these words. A pure devotee can be someone who practices pure devotion. So that means that we accept that bhakti is sufficient and we don't need anything else except Krishna bhakti. And we practice Krishna bhakti. We chant and we worship. And so then you are a pure devotee because you are practicing pure bhakti. Right? That's one definition. But we can be a Kanishta Bhagavata. So this is what I wanted to speak, because there are several of these lines by which we can advance. So this is Diksha, then Guru, having a Guru, then there is Shraddha or faith, Shraddha, then there is Shastra, knowledge of the scripture. Yeah. Then there is Nama, how we chant the holy name. Mm. Then there is one's vision. And these are these quotes from the beginning of Prabhupada's purport. What do we see? And they are not equivalent, because we will come back to this. So vision refers to Kanishta Bhagavat. If we speak technically, then this will be Kanishta Bhagavat, Madhyam Bhagavat, Uttam Bhagavat. And this Shraddha and Shastra, this is an adhikari, meaning candidate, eligibility for pure devotional service. So one can be Uttama Adhikari, have perfect faith and perfect knowledge of Shastra, and still be a Kanishta Bhagavat. In other words, he may still see Krishna only on the altar. He understands, yes, Krishna is God and he's everywhere. He understands that he's in the heart, but he doesn't see. Right? So this is a candidate, and this is their realization. And in the same with this pure devotee, pure devotion. So we can say that one who starts this path knowing that bhakti is everything, he's a pure devotee. Like when Srila Prabhupada was asked, who's a pure devotee? How many pure devotees do we have in ISKCON? So Prabhupada said, how many devotees we have in ISKCON? That's how many pure devotees we have. You heard this, yeah? This. And then if in our practical, technical sense, you are surrendered here when anartha nivritti is complete and when you are at nishta. So when you are at nishta, when you are fixed, surrendered, then you are pure, or almost pure. So that's a pure devotee. So that will be pure, completely pure. And if we speak about having absolutely no trace of any contamination, so that's already in Krishna Lila, you know, when you enter, when you see Krishna face to face. Because even on the platform of prema, there can be some traces of offense from before. And that's why offense is so dangerous. Is it okay? Or should I say, is it confusing enough to remove desire to ask any further questions? It's like in
to see Krishna, it's a frage, it's a
question.
Not many people can see Krishna.
Yeah?
It's high, I think it's a high level to see.
Indeed, it is. Nobody argues, yes. So we start somewhere. Okay, so this is the one, and maybe we can write also the last one, the vision of this person. So this is from the beginning of the purport. Kanishta, so technically this will be a Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama Bhagavata. Maybe you can write Bhagavata. Bhagavata means, you know, Krishna's devotee. Bhagavata. So, where does Kanishta Bhagavata see Krishna? Where? Only, what did you say? Picture. Okay, yeah, good. So, we can say deity, or altar, that kind of includes. Okay, so he sees in the altar, he sees Krishna on the altar, and where he doesn't see, where he does not respect Krishna? Of everyone, okay. And everyone, two categories are mentioned. In the heart of devotees and non-devotees, yes. So, Krishna in the altar, but not in the heart of bhaktas and others, means non-devotees, non-bhaktas. So, but he already starts seeing, he already sees Krishna in the altar. That's already something, right? In the name also, you can see. Yeah. So, and then Madhyamadhikari, he has four relationships. So four attitudes. So he has love, prema for Krishna. He has for bhaktas, what does he have? Friendship, okay. Friendship for innocent. What does he have for innocent? Compassion. Okay, so does everybody understand the word daya? Daya. All right, I will write compassion. Brahmhetsikai. You cannot read. Yeah. Anyway. Okay.
No.
So compassion. Compassion toward innocent. And then for envious, what does he have for envious? Indifference. Very good. So he doesn't respond with envy to the envious. So love for Krishna, friendship for bhaktas, compassion for innocent, and indifference to the envious. And neutral. He's neutral. Neutrality. How did you say?
Gleichgültig.
Yeah. This is the proper. And Uttama, where does he see Krishna? Everywhere, yes. So he sees Krishna in all and all in Krishna. This is the vision. Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's very high, but
yeah. Yeah. So this is Madhyama. This is the middle stage. This one will love everybody, but this one will be indifferent, and that's good enough for now. You understand? This is Uttamadhikari. This is the highest. So he will see Krishna in everybody. He loves everybody. He sees only one demon, himself. But this is a middle stage. This is Madhyama. So this is a stage where he still tries to go deeper in his love. And in fact, you can see very interestingly in the Bhagavatam, there are many prayers where devotees are asking Krishna to grant them this Madhyam Bhakti. Parikshit Maharaj is asking about this. Punascha bhuyat bhagavadyanante. He's saying that wherever I am born, let me in every birth have friendship with devotees and attachment to you, respect for the brahmanas, and basically these are the description of these four attitudes. Sudama, the florist in the 10th canto, asks for the same. Nalakovara and Manigriva, when they came out of the two trees and Krishna broke these two trees, Krishna Damodar, they asked for the similar, even though they are standing in front of Krishna, so they could ask for anything. But this is actually good enough. If we have this, we have everything. Because from here, we advance very steadily and smoothly to this perfect loving vision. And this is also, it's, you know, of sometimes even, you know, even an advanced devotee, he will, even if he may love a demon, but I mean, he will not agitate the demon. He will not try to preach to the demon to not make him offend Krishna more. So he will leave the demon alone, and he will concentrate on the innocent, those who can actually accept. Yes.
I heard once that like automatically, like Prabhupada, at least in the, for preaching, for the sake of preaching, they come down to the media platform. How is it possible if you're already on such a high level to put yourself down?
It's not down. It's in a different direction. So basically, Kanishtha Adhikari is someone who doesn't see anything except matter. And Uttama Adhikari is someone who doesn't see anything except spirit. So one sees only matter, the other sees only spirit. So neither of them can preach. And a preacher, he sees spirit and he sees matter. So therefore, when Uttama Adhikari preaches, he is accepting the discriminating vision of the Madhyama Adhikari. So he's acting as Madhyama Adhikari. So he has to discriminate. Okay, this is spirit, this is matter. This leads up, this leads down. This is materialistic, this is spiritual. And he preaches the...
He can choose. Okay, today I am Madhyama, tomorrow I am...
No, he is Uttama all the time. But he is acting as a Madhyama. He is accepting the vision of the Madhyama. Yeah, we are supposed to judge. Of course, when we join, we usually are Uttama Adhikaris. Then we advance a little bit and we become Kanishtha Adhikaris. And then we advance and advance and advance and advance and advance and we become Madhyama Adhikaris. Something like that. Yeah. Mirabai's bhakti is different in that she has a completely different attitude towards Radharani. Mahaprabhu is bringing a unique gift which allows you to get access to the exclusive ecstasy of Radharani, which is inaccessible even to other sakis and other gopi lovers of Krishna. Because Radharani is the epitome. She is Svadini Shakti. She is Adi Shakti, Adi Lakshmi. Yes? She is Sarupa Shakti of Krishna, internal energy of Krishna. All the other gopis are her expansions. So she is the epitome of the highest ecstasy. So others cannot have this. However, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought, he has brought not the Naika Bhav, a heroine mood of a heroine. I am Krishna's lover. But the Manjari Bhav, the mood of I am Radharani's maidservant. And if Krishna comes and tries to embrace and kiss me, I will push him away and say, go to Radharani, go to Lalita. They are your lovers. I am their small servant. I will shout, Radhe, Radhe, this Krishna is attacking me. Lalita, Lalita, you are always chastising Krishna. Come and take him away. Yeah? Of course, this is a large discussion, but the point is, I'm not trying to enjoy personally with Krishna. I want to have Radharani enjoy with Krishna. I serve them. And by that, you can enter Radharani's mood, because you will be there, and she is sharing her ecstasy with her servants, and this is as intimate as it can ever get for any living entity. This is completely unique, unequaled, and it's as selfless as you can imagine, and even more selfless. Because you're not even trying to be with Krishna. You're not trying to enjoy in any way. You're not even trying to please Krishna directly, yourself. Yes? You're serving the servants of Radharani. So this is a very unique mood. So that's what we are cherishing. This is a unique, unequaled gift of Mahaprabhu Gauranga. Whereas Mirabai is a respected, very respected devotee. We certainly respect her. But that's not her mood. It seems she has more the mood of a Nayika, which is,
lover of Krishna,
heroine. So for us, it's like, you know, seeing I'm sitting here.
You can be any mood as far as you love Krishna or as far as you love Radha. You can be any sort of relation. I mean, you can be a friend.
Well, you ask me what's the difference. Right?
I mean, why don't we mention Radha? I mean, Mirabai's love or her style of bhakti.
We don't want this style. We want, this very. But we are not saying that this is. We're not condemning, but this is not the mood we are cherishing. That's all. All right. So. How can we advance? What are the different ropes by which we can pull ourselves up? So, we have mentioned five. And we have described two. So, diksha, by vows and process of revealing divine knowledge and purification from undesirable things, anartas. Then faith. So, Shraddha and Shastra, these are description of an adhikari or a candidate for pure devotional service. What's the faith of a Kanishtha adhikari?
Weak.
Yes. Weak or soft, it's described. Okay, weak. What's the faith of Madhyam adhikari? I cannot hear.
Middle.
It's firm, yes, very good. It's firm. Madhikari has firm faith. And Uttamadhikari has unshakable faith. How does Prabhupada? Okay, Komala for this. It's unshakable. So it's impossible to move this faith, right? Okay, so there is a contradiction. Here we have a contradiction. That we are saying that Uttamadhikari has an unshakable faith, whereas Mahaprabhu says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that even a Mahabhagavat, by reading Shankaracharya's Sharira Bhashya, will fall down. Can fall down. So it looks like his faith has been shaken. So, what to say in answer to you, I don't know. Christian?
He would not read.
Well, first of all, again, as we are saying, this Uttamadhikari is not the Uttama Bhagavata. This Uttamadhikari can be, in fact, still a Kanishna Bhagavata. So he may, it doesn't mean that he is perfect. His vision may not be perfect. It is still faith. It's not a realization yet. It's still faith. So therefore, maybe it's unshakable, but then something poisons his heart and, you know, it's obscured for some time or something. Something like that. So for Adhikari, this is coming from the nectar of devotion. So the faith and Shastra. Now, Kanishta Adhikari's knowledge of Shastra is what? How does he know Shastra? Little Yahara Komala Shraddha and so we can say, okay, little knowledge of Shastra, and Madhyam Adhikari, he knows conclusions. He knows the conclusions, but cannot argue. Not expert in arguing. Convincingly. Shastra, yes. And Uttama Adhikari, he is expert. He knows Shastra and he can give perfect arguments. Yeah. And name, so Kanishta Adhikari, according to this verse, is what's his relationship with the name?
Namaparad,
Namabas. So this verse says, if you chant once, you can be respected, you should be respected as Kanishta Adhikari, yes? Then Madhyam Adhikari, <laughs> 24/7 all the time. Yeah, okay, and Uttamadhikari, it means makes others chant. So because, you know, when we go out on the street, when you go out on the street in your Vaishnava clothes, then everybody is saying, hey, these are Hare Krishnas, then all of you are Uttamadhikaris. Right? Sometimes you don't even have to have clothes. Somehow, I don't know how they guess. You're sometimes wearing a hat and some jacket that your kantimala is hidden, and still they say, "Are you a Hare Krishna?" did you notice this? How do they get it? once I went to a newspaper and a reporter. He looked at me and said, "Are you a Hare Krishna?" I said, "How do you know?" He said, "There is some imperceptible feeling that something different for us." Yes?
To compliment on someone.
Well? Yes, what do
you think?
Bhagavata, yes. So in other words, there are two terms that are sometimes a little bit mixed. So here they are described like they are all one. But the fact is that these categories, practically, well, we can say at least the three above categories, or at least the Shraddha and Shastra, they are coming from a description of a candidate. Adhikari means a candidate. Adhikar is an eligibility, your right to enter, to begin Uttama Bhakti. Qualification, yes, it's a qualification. Thank you. So it's a qualification. So faith, weak, firm, unshakable, and knowledge of Shastra, little, conclusive, or expert, will qualify you more or less to start the practice of Bhakti. But we have seen that someone can know many shlokas, but he doesn't like to do service. Or he may know many shlokas, and he definitely accepts that Krishna is God. Yes, he may even argue very nicely that Krishna is God, but he will not respect other devotees. Or he will be quite critical towards others. Yes. So that means that his vision is still here. He doesn't respect bhaktas and others. So by realization, he's still not achieved the Uttama Bhagavata platform. So these are just different symptoms of different. Yeah, if we speak technically, yes. Technically, but sometimes it's also interchangeable. Because adhikari can mean also, so one who is deserving. So sometimes they are interchanged. But if you speak technically, if you want to be precise in our terms, then adhikari is the qualification and it's the candidate, whereas Bhagavata is the one's realization in devotional service. So why are we having this? Why do we have all of this? In order to help us to advance, so that we can see how we can advance. So we can advance by diksha and by realizing, by following this process, and we can advance by strengthening our faith. How do we strengthen our faith? Pray to Krishna. Okay. How else? Association. Shastra. Yes. Shastra. When we study the Shastra, our faith becomes more strong because we, on one hand, we get some information. On another hand, we see how it all fits together. It's all logical. And, of course, study of Shastra will require one more thing to make. There is one more way how Shastra can make our faith strong. Okay, hearing from Guru. Yes, so that's like association. If what? It removes our doubts, yes. And there is one more thing we can do with Shastra. After studying Shastra, apply. So when we apply, then again, our faith strengthens because we see it works. Yeah. We read in the Shastra, okay, do this and there's the result. We apply. And we see actually it works. So then our faith becomes stronger. So application. Then the name. Regarding the name, there are different levels. Prabhupada writes that Bhaktisiddhanta ji considered anyone who doesn't chant 64 rounds to be fallen. So, but Prabhupada says that, you know, Westerners cannot peacefully meditate for more than 2 hours. And at that, I would say he was very generous. Because even 2 hours of peaceful meditation is a challenge. I mean, even 5 minutes of peaceful meditation is something you need to learn sometimes. But our 16 rounds is the minimum. We certainly want to increase. And it's good to increase. And I have seen, I know quite a few people who chant 64 rounds, and these are the people who usually do more service than others. It's not at the expense of service. These are people who are inspired, who have some taste and who are developing taste, and they increase their number of rounds gradually to 64. And I had in our BBT line, when we were translating books into Ukrainian, now she's wife of Gopi Parandana Prabhu. She's been chanting 64 all the time since her first or second year in Krishna consciousness. And she was doing more service than anybody else. She was faster, more productive, and even when she had a baby, she never stopped chanting 64 rounds. Not for a day. It's quite special. So it's possible. It's possible, And 64 rounds are not an excuse to do less service. Doesn't mean that we go somewhere, you know, and Prabhu, don't disturb. I'm turning my 64 rounds. It should not be an excuse. Yes, so?
Because I don't sleep enough, I cannot sleep, and in the day you must do so many things, material things that you must also do. I'm not able every day 16 rounds.
So. Yeah, it's a pity.
And I am a schlechter Mensch.
Sometimes when one has too much things to do, one can finish one's rounds on the next day. One can complete later. But it's good to, 16 rounds.
Today, it is many people, the work makes so
tired.
The
squeezes out all your...
We must do, and when we cannot sleep in the night, it is not possible to... fühlt man sich immer als Versager. Wenn man immer sagt, dass man muss 1600 und dass nur die sich einweihen dürfen, die recht 1600 schaffen und die anderen sind immer weniger.
You can see that Srila Rupa Goswami here says that we respect even if one chants how many rounds? No.
One
name. One Krishna. You just say Krishna, already you are in the club. Not Hare Krishna. Einmal Krishna chant. Or Hare. Genug. Man is in the club. He's inside. And or you can chant in your mind all the time. Of course, this is should not be an excuse, but you know, different people have different situations. So Prabhupada was saying 16 rounds on the beats, and also you can use some like this. You have a clicker. There are all kinds of clickers. So you chant 16 rounds on your beats, and then you use the clicker just not to stop, because if you don't have some device, you stop. But if you have some device, it often helps. And now you can have this kind of furrowed. Yeah. This is, okay. A little advertisement. Maybe you should write to them and maybe they will send me a little. This is a lap counter for swimming. And recently I have found that they have opened a European branch which doesn't sell other products, but only sell this. And I suspect this is because devotees are ordering so many.
Are these working?
Shame. Yeah, it's on the finger. And you count. One, two, three. And it works everywhere, anywhere, in water. But again, this should not be a substitute for meditation chanting. This is just not to stop chanting, you know, to keep chanting in the mind. And, you know, nowadays you have so many... Huh? Then there is another...
Kind of everything is in the big
bag. And many other kinds of... because this one makes a loud click. Click, and if you are somewhere...
Everyone can see that you are not changing, but just clicking.
But this doesn't... Sport count. So again, this is not to substitute our japa rounds, but to help us not to stop when we are chanting. Now, just one last point in this purport is about Uttama Adhikari. Prabhupada is saying that we should accept Uttama Adhikari as the teacher, and you may find devotees, especially in Vrindavan. Especially in Vrindavan, they will come to you. You know, they will usually have a little beard, and they will customarily, you know, be looking like this. I don't know why it's like a uniform and a little beard. And they will say, Prabhu, are you happy in your spiritual life? Our Guruji has lectures now in this and this place. Would you like to come and listen to some? Well, there are others. Yes. But then they will sometimes, you know, no, I live in Vrindavan, so... And then they will, you know, like, pull out this... Prabhu, you should not accept anybody except Uttama Adhikari. And, you know, very meaningful, you know, glance at you. And you think, oh my God, did I accept an Uttama Adhikari? Oh my God. And then our Guru Maharaj is an Uttama Adhikari. You know? And there is so many assumptions under this. First of all, how do they know whether my Guru Maharaj is Uttama? Did they travel with him? I traveled with all my gurus, and I know them from very close range. I saw them in very different situations. I can judge, first of all. Second of all, how do I know his guru is actually Uttama Adhikari? Just because he says so? Just because he cries? Or just because he makes your heart tickle? Where do you have this criterion here that your heart tickles? So let's see, okay, if they take this book, what is the criterion that Prabhupada gives for Uttama Adhikari? He says that when we see that someone is actually interested in Krishna consciousness and wants to be initiated, we accept him as a disciple for the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, first level. When a neophyte devotee is actually initiated and engaged in devotional service by the orders of the spiritual master, he should be accepted immediately as a bona fide Vaishnava, and obeisances should be offered unto him. Second level. Out of many such Vaishnavas, one may be found to be very seriously engaged in the service of the Lord and strictly following all the regulative principles, chanting the prescribed number of rounds on japa beads, and always thinking of how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. Such a Vaishnava should be accepted as an Uttama Adhikari. A highly advanced devotee and his association should always be sought. Does it say anything about tears or rasa katha, or mystic eyes, or tickling in the heart? So it says very clear criteria that can be judged, because all the other criteria, they are very subjective. You cannot actually examine or judge. It's all subjective. Whereas Ravindra Sarup Prabhu, he has one horror seminar called History of ISKCON. You heard it? I think it's somewhere in Germany. Yes. And he makes one interesting point there. He's saying that after analyzing all the cases of fall down in ISKCON, he finds that the problem was usually that the person was deviating in some of the basic practices. They didn't do what Prabhupada writes here. They didn't chant their 16 rounds, at least. They didn't follow the program, and they didn't do these measurable things. Not that they didn't have some subtle thing missing. They didn't do what's observable. And then, naturally, that led to some other problems. So, in order to have an organization and to have a preaching mission, we also need to have some observable, measurable criteria which we can apply. Who can be accepted as a guide? And of course, we should try to find the most qualified person. But we should not be so naive that any person meeting us in Vrindavan or in the hallways somewhere in the peaceful corner and trying to, you know, impress upon us that my Guru Maharaj is the real Guru Maharaj, that, you know, that just because he says so, that therefore I should doubt my Guru Maharaj, or that therefore his Guru Maharaj is better. It's very naive picture. So if they pull out these quotes, why don't we read the whole purport? Why don't we read everything that Prabhupada is saying here about who is qualified and who is not qualified? So this is just one side point about that unfortunately we have to deal with sometimes in our life as devotees. If you are practicing spiritual life, and if you have a realistic relationship with your guru based on spiritual advancement, if you need guru for spiritual advancement, then such people will not be able to sway you. So our main idea is to put in a positive action. And I remember Niranjan Swami, when in one temple, he came to one temple and the president came to him and said, there are these, I think we can say now, right? There are these Narayana Maharaja's people. And they are coming and they are, you know, brainwashing our people and they are snatching them away. And can we, you know, like ban them from the temple, or can we, you know, just say something? Can we preach against them? Some other organization. And also Gaudiya Vaishnava, but with a little funny slant. Respectable people, but with certain practices in preaching that may not be so healthy, wholesome. So Niranjana Swami said, we should make our society so attractive and our relationships so affectionate and warm, and our spiritual life so full of energy and spiritual bliss that no one would even think that they need to find somebody else. So you focus on that. And he said it on a big lecture, that rather than fighting with some other organization, why don't we focus on the positive of us becoming a perfect and excellent place, perfect and excellent people. That's what we should work upon. And this is, we should not be naive, we should understand what's happening in the world, but this is the focus of our endeavor. And that's why Rupa Goswami is giving us all these, you can see, different guidelines, and Prabhupada adds, he speaks about diksha and chanting and knowing the process and not being aggressive and envious. And Prabhupada adds faith, shastra, the name, and vision. And we can adopt more of these, one of these, all of these, and by these ropes, by these helpful lifelines, we can pull ourselves closer and closer to higher and higher to the spiritual bliss and ecstasy and spiritual perfection. That's the purpose that we are studying this. And a very important sphere for this middle ground transformation is our relationships with each other, and our ability to see Krishna in others. Okay, so it's up to us now to put it in our life and learn to respect Krishna in everybody's hearts, and to make friendly relationships with each other. And as I mentioned, this is a hard work, but the most rewarding work. So love is a sacrifice which is entirely in our hands. We can give. It's the work to give. And by giving, we are becoming more and more happy in loving relationships.